surface gray from the heavenly way, and was wretched and as vile as to be. Then the Savior in love gave me peace from above when he reached down his hand for me. When my Savior reached down for me, he had to reach way down for me. I was lost and undone without God or his Son when he reached down his hand for me. I was near to despair when he came to me there, and he told me that I could be free. Then he lifted my feet, gave me gladness complete when he reached down his hand for me. When the Savior reached down for me, he had to reach way down for me. I was lost and undone without God or his Son when he reached down his hand for me. How my heart does rejoice since I made him my choice. In the tempest to him I can flee, there to lean on his arm, safe, secure from all harm, as he reached down his hand for me. When the Savior reached down for me, he had to reach way down for me. Well, I was lost and undone without God or his Son when he reached down his hand.
In the book of 1 Kings, in chapter number 18. I want to read a few verses of Scripture. I tell you, we ought to stay on this Sunday school roll of studying about giving more often. Appreciate 59 in worship service this morning, $2,607 in the offering. And we're thankful for that. Praise God for that. Amen. That'll help you pave a parking lot. About 8 or 10 weeks of that in a row would help you pave a parking lot. $2,607 in the offering. We could pave a parking lot if we get that about a dozen weeks in a row. That'd help us to pave a parking lot. Well, wouldn't that be good? About 15, 20 weeks in a row of that. Amen. We keep on. We're going to have it for a year, ain't we? Amen. Praise God. I appreciate it. It's wonderful. We ought to give with an open heart, with a good, clean heart towards the Lord, a desire to see God being honored, glorified in all that we do. Now, he ought to be glorified in our giving. He ought to be glorified in our living. He ought to be glorified in our preaching, in our singing, in all that we do. Christ should receive honor and glory. It's not about us. It's all about him, about his honor and about his glory. I used to say quite often that, and it's right, that we're not here for man. We're not here for a movement. We're not here for Methodism or baptism. We're not here for Pentecostalism. Amen. And all the rest, as my granddaddy says, of your isms and sisms, we're here to bring honor and glory to God. And that's what it is all about. Now, stand with us if you will. We'll read the word of the Lord together from 1 Kings chapter number 18. beginning in verse number 20 and going down through verse number 24. I don't know why I do this every Sunday, but I situate my watch so it can be easily seen, and then I don't pay any attention to it anyway. Amen. Yeah, that's right. You've heard the story, I guess, about the little boy, the little Baptist boy that he had a Catholic friend, little school boys, and he promised him, said, if you'll go to church with me one Sunday, I'll go to church with you one Sunday. He went to church with a little Catholic boy. He didn't understand all the rituals and things. He'd ask him, what does this mean? Whenever they'd pass out them Jesus cookies, you know, to everybody that come by, and the priest would put their blessing on them. And what does this mean whenever they did this and stand up and sit down and do all their little motions that they're doing things? And he said, kept asking what that means. Well, he went to church there with the little Baptist boy the next week, and he asked him, said, what does this mean? When they asked him to stand and sing the congregational hymn, he told him, well, we all going to stand, we're going to sing when we all get to heaven. And said that then we're going to have fellowship. What does that mean? He said, well, everybody's going to go around and shake hands with one another. Said, then we're going to take up offering. He said, what does that mean? He said, that means that we're going to put money in the plate and they're going to use it to pay the light bill and take care of the church. Preacher got up to preach and he took his watch off and laid it right there on the edge of the pulpit. And the little boy asked him, said, what does that mean? He said, buddy, that don't mean nothing. Absolutely nothing what that means. Amen. And so we know that to be the truth. All right, let's read from 1 Kings chapter number 18 and verse number 20. The word of the Lord says, so Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together to the Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. And then said Elijah unto the people, I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while I read the Word of the Lord. Now, this is a very familiar passage of the Word of God. I don't know how many hundreds of times that it has been preached on. And matter of fact, I heard it preached on earlier this week. Not what I'm about to preach to you here tonight, but I've heard a plethora of messages out of this chapter of the Word of the Lord. Numbers of different messages. Sermons about the fire. Sermons about the altar. Sermons about the man of God. Sermons about false religion. But I want to show you something this morning that I never noticed in this chapter until Tuesday night. It was not the point of the preacher's message Tuesday night. I got to listen to part of his message, but the rest of it I was jotting notes on what I was getting from the Lord from what he read in Scripture. As he began to read the verses of the Scripture, there are some words that just absolutely leaped off the page at me, and I began to make some notes concerning these words. I want you to notice this. Of course, this is a passage where Elijah and Ahab's prophets of Baal have a showdown on the mountain of Carmel. And my friend, they call fire down from heaven, Elijah does, and it consumes the wood, consumes the sacrifice, consumes the altar, and even laps up 12 barrels of water that have been poured upon the altar before he began the fire. And he does this after Baal's prophets pray all day long. And nothing happens when they pray. All right, there's the setting of the passage. Now let me tell you, show you what I want to show you this morning. Elijah begins speaking to the people in verse 21. But when he asked them a question, the Bible says, they answered him not a word. Notice what it says. And he says, how long halt ye between two opinions? The Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. I want to preach if the Lord hit me from that phrase in verse number 21. And the people answered. And the people answered. I want to preach if the Lord hit me right there. God help us this morning. Listen, I may not get anywhere close to being done with this verse and with this passage of Scripture, with this thought. And so I'll get to a stopping place somewhere. And the chances are we'll just have to stop and finish her up tonight. But I'll give you what I can in the time that I have remaining in the service this morning. I want to say, first of all, this may be all we get to this morning. The people answered in the prophet's test.
in the 1 Kings 18 where we're reading, the man of God calls the people of my friend upon the mountain, and he begins to present to them a test. Now this comes after periods of time in which the Israelites had been on a roller coaster ride of ups and downs and ins and outs religiously up until this point. I want to show you some of the people's voice as it deals with religion up until the prophet says. I want to say the people answered when they left Egypt, and they said in Ezekiel, in Exodus 8:19-8, and all the people answered together and said, "Oh, that the Lord has spoken, we will do." Boy, we've been there, haven't we? Praise God. Anything the Lord wants us to do, that's what we're going to do. We're going to serve God. We're going to do everything God says. You remember when you got saved? I don't know what you did. But when I got saved, I said, "Lord, if you'll just save me and forgive me of my sins, I'll do anything that you want me to do. I'll serve you faithfully. And now, what would you ever step in the way?" Boy, it's a lot easier to make those kind of promises than what it is to keep them. Amen. They said, "Oh, the Lord said, we will do." And my friend, when they had passed through Sinai and received the law in Exodus 24:3, and Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgment, and all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words which the Lord has said, will we do." The second time they said, "We're going to do everything that the Lord has told us to do." When they left Egypt, they said, when they passed through Sinai and received the law, they said, when they conquered Canaan and entered in the land of Canaan, in Joshua 24:16-17, Joshua just given that speech, "If it seemed right to you to serve other gods, the gods that differ, and if they served on the other side of the flood, for the gods of the Canaanites and served them, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." You know how the people answered, and the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods, for the Lord is our God." I want to tell you, friend, they said, "We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to walk after God. God forbid we should forsake Him to follow after other gods and to serve the gods of this world. We're going to serve the Lord." Well, that's how all the people answered. They said, "We're going to do everything God said to do. We're going to do everything God gave us to do. We're going to keep all the laws that God gave us. And we're going to serve the Lord." Well, friend, yet the time comes when they got in the land of Israel, and they did not do what they said. They said, "We're going to keep His laws." But they did not keep His laws. They said, "We're going to do what He said." But they did not do what He said. They said, "We'll serve God and Him alone." Yet they did not serve God, nor was it Him alone. Oh, God, help us. Is that not where we often live this morning? Amen. I'm going back again to where you remember when you got saved. Can you recall saying, "Lord, I'll do anything"? And if you didn't say it, you surely felt it in your heart. And that's when a man gets saved. It's when he's willing to do anything that the Lord tells him to do, if God just saved him. And you said, "Lord, I'll do anything. I'll follow you. I'll be faithful to you. I'll love you. I'll serve you. If you'll just save me and forgive me of my sins." But did you do it? Have you followed? Have you done what you said to do? Have you walked according to His commandments? Have you followed His precepts? Have you been obedient to His word? Or have you found yourself time and time again coming back and praying the same thing? "Lord, if you'll just forgive me this time, I promise you I'll do what you said. I'll be found faithful. It'll not be as it's been in times past. And I will God this time." Amen. And so from Judges chapter number 2, how ought my friend, after the inheritance of the promised land and their commitment to serve God wholly and Him only, until 1 Kings chapter number 11, 8 times the Bible says that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. In every case, idolatry was involved. God had given them 5 books of the law and 10 foundational commandments. Yet they had not kept the first one. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I want to tell you, friend, having no other gods in our lives is the one that most of us have problems with. Amen. That little preacher this morning said, I talked about the American idol. I told dear Brother Jeff after the meeting was over this morning, I said that show was absolutely named and properly named. That's what it is, America's idols. Amen. And we got a whole bunch of them in this generation. Oh, yes, that's right. But you know what Paul said repentance was? That's turning from idols to serve the living God. Oh, yes. You know where our idols are? Oh, yes. The Greek gods were in the mountains of Mount Olympus. Oh, you know where ours are? They tumble into the end zones in Miami and Pasadena and Atlanta, Georgia. Amen. Our idols stand on stages, swollen microphones, and are trying to sing to you about perversity and the lust. Amen. Oh, yes, that's right. Our idols have power wheels and internal combustion engine. Woo! And we're having a time. Our idols, my friend, are called RVs, ATVs. Oh, yes, that's right. Our idols have numbers on them. 30, 30, 30 off 6. Hey! Our idols, my friend, come with blue lights and red tags. Woo! On the clearance rack, that's right. Our idols, my friend, oh yes, I can be deposited. And I don't know what color all of them are, but most of them's green. Amen. Our idols in this world are these material things and the natural things in this life. And we've not turned from idols to serve the living God.
Amen. We promised the Lord we would. We said, Lord, if you'll save us, we'll do anything. And yet, we still got a God in our lives. Hey, rich man, I may not ever get past this part, but that's all right, too. Hey, the rich young ruler comes to Jesus, and he tells the Lord, says, good master, what good thing can I do that I might hear eternal life? Well, if I'd been Lord Jesus, I'd been real tempted to say, hey, buddy, you can't do nothing to get eternal life. And instead, the Lord was nice and I would have been, and he demonstrated it to him, how he couldn't do anything to get eternal life. He said, well, I call something good, it's not good. But God, now that doesn't mean that Jesus wasn't good, that he wasn't God. That means he wanted to know whether or not this rich young ruler would call him good master. I like they would say reverend today. How was they calling him good master because he was a teacher? How was they calling him good master because he knew he was the darling son of God? And my friend, he goes on to say today, if you want to have eternal life, keep the commandments. You know what the young man said? Which ones? Why, that's a foolish for that question. James said, if you've offended at one point, you're guilty of it all. If you're sinned at one point, you're just a sinner. You're a lawbreaker. You're lawless. You're a rebel. You're a sinner. And you need God in your life. He said, which one? Well, all of them. That's which ones. Jesus started calling them off one by one. Love your neighbor. Do be good to your neighbor and all these things. Don't steal. Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. That young man said, all these have I kept from my youth up. I'm going to tell you something. He's got a couple of problems. One I'm going to tell you about in just a minute, but first of all, he's a liar. I never have broke these commandments. My Lord, you're a liar like a dog. You're like all the rest of us. You live in an old rotten, dirty flesh, and you broke them just like I have. Maybe you had stuck a knife in somebody and killed him, but don't tell me you never bore a false witness. Don't tell me, friend, that you never coveted. Don't tell me, dear friend, that you've never had an awful, terrible thoughts in your life, and my friend, in your heart committed adultery. I'll tell you where I'm guilty of doing them kind of things. Amen. Your horns is holding your halo up this morning, and you can't fool me. Amen. You're made out of the same stuff I am. And if you say that you have no sin, you're a liar.
deceive yourself.
He said, all these have kept my youth up.
Jesus said, one thing thou lackest. He said, go sell everything you got, give it to the poor, and deny yourself and come and follow me. Now, wait a minute. Selling everything you got don't put you in the world of God and make you go to heaven. There's a lot of folks that give to the poor, and that don't mean they're going to heaven. Hey, somebody said, well, denying yourself. Well, hey, there's a lot of them Muslims that go on hunger strikes, and they won't eat certain kinds of meat, and do all this kind of stuff. That doesn't mean they're going to heaven. Oh, it's following Jesus. Jews followed Jesus for more than 2 years. Yet he didn't go to heaven. Hey, listen, you know what the Lord is telling him? You've got a God in your life, friend. You've got a God in your life. And the very first commandment, you notice the Lord didn't ask him about that one. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. He couldn't keep that first one with his problem. I mean, he had a God in his life. His riches, his money. And he would not give up his God. You know what the Lord was trying to let him know? Until you're willing to give up your God, until you're willing to turn from idols and serve the living God, you'll never make it to heaven when you die.
Israel had a problem with the very first commandment. Have no other gods before me. Same problem we got in this country today. Gods of all sorts, shapes, and sizes. Amen. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We're raised with our sports idols, our music idols, our pop culture stars. And they're some of the most perverse and vile and wicked and evil human beings that's ever breathed there on earth. Amen. Your kids got pictures of them punks hanging in their bedrooms. Some basketball player with AIDS, tattoos all over his body. Amen, that's right. Some perverse clown somewhere or another singing who's probably a homosexual. You ought to tear that mess down, mom and dad. That's your hell. Take charge of it. Tear that filth down off of their walls. Amen, that's right. Get rid of the CDs and DVDs. Hey, get the internet out of their bedroom and try to teach them how to serve God. We'll have no king, but Jesus ought to be the theme at your house. Amen. That's right. And so it was that they broke the very first law. They broke the very first law. Oh, my friend. And 8 times the Bible said they did evil in the sight of the Lord. Well, finally in 1 Kings 12, verses 16 through 19, the people answered and said, what portion have we in David? Neither have we any inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Now see to thine own house, David. So Israel departed unto their tents. And according to verse number 19, they lived in rebellion from then on. These were the people to whom Elijah spoke on the mountain. They served God and they didn't serve God. They lived for God and they didn't live for God. They walked with God and they pursued God. And finally they got so cold and so wicked and so ungodly and so rebellious that they left God altogether. And they lived in rebellion. King after king after king had passed. From the days of old Jeroboam unto the days of Ahab, they served false gods and made the sorriest men in the nation of Israel to be their priests. They took the base men of the people, the thieves and the drunkards, and they made them their preachers. Oh, yes. And they served false gods. Ahab built a grove. And he had 450 prophets that were preaching the doctrine of Baal. And they offered their babies as sacrifices, slain and burnt unto their false gods. Well, that's where America is today. We come back to God, left God, serve God and left God. And today we're just about all together, John. Abortion clinics across this country. Our babies are offered to the gods of convenience and the gods of beauty and the gods, my friend, of feminism and liberalism. And you don't think the judgment of God has headed down on this country? We're in trouble. We're in trouble. I'm preaching right. I intend to give them everything I have so far, but I'm glad for every bit of it. We're preaching just right. We're serving all of God except for the one we promised to serve.
when He saved us by His grace. My Lord, have mercy. And notice here, according to verse number 19 of chapter 12 of 1 Kings, they lived in rebellion. And Elijah, after all these years, all these wicked kings, Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord. That was Ahab's father. But the Bible said when Ahab got grown, he married a woman named Jezebel. And she was the most wicked woman in the world. That's right. And Jezebel was lewd. Jezebel was loud. Jezebel was rebellious. Jezebel was wicked. Jezebel held the heart of her husband and turned him whithersoever she chose. And he did just what she said. And she was wicked, and Ahab was wicked. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of heaven to anger than anybody that had ever lived before him. That's what the Bible says. The most wicked man that had ever lived provoked the Lord to anger more than any man that had ever lived. This man Ahab. Now I'm going to tell you what happens. Elijah gets a word from the Lord. He's a cave dweller. He's a nobody going nowhere. He's an oddball. He didn't come from a preacher's house. Didn't grow up in a good fundamental Bible believing that missionary Baptist church with a man of God squalling and sweating, and the priest said, I said to him, oh no, I mean Elijah's out there in the middle of nowhere. And God comes to him with a word from the Lord. And you know what he does? He goes to the king's house. Walks down the sidewalk, up on the patio, and knocks on the door. Older Ahab comes to the door and says, who are you? He said, my name's Elijah. I'm a Tishbite. The Lord come to me and told me that it'll not rain again until he says so. According to the word of the Lord, it won't rain again like that. It's going to rain again. Old Ahab must have thought this man the truth. Shut the door in his face and forgot about what he said. Till about 3 months went by and they hadn't seen a drop of rain. He said, hey, fellas, why don't you see if you can find that guy that come by here a few months ago and said it ain't raining again until he said so. That's how far we're in this mess we're in. 3.5 years went by and not one drop of rain fell. The crops were a dying. The mice in the cattle were a dying. The livestock were a dying. The people were starving to death. Everything was a dying. Oh, and Elijah, my family was being taken care of by the Lord. Finally, the Bible says Elijah and Ahab meet Seth in this chapter, and Ahab says, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And Elijah said, no, it's you and your father's house that's to blame for the mess we're in. Well, yes, he tells the men to meet him on Mount Carmel. That's the home of the false god Baal. That's where the prophets felt like Baal lives. And so Elijah said, meet me at the house of your God. In other words, we'll give you home field advantage. I said, meet me up there, and we'll have ourselves a showdown. And Elijah meets on Mount Carmel, and Ahab sends unto all the children of Israel, verse 20, where we begin reading. And there was 450 prophets of Baal. And according to verse number 19, there was 400 prophets of the grove, and all of them ate at Jezebel's table. That's a big table, isn't it? 850 of them is eaten for this. They're provided for, they're supported by Jezebel's conviction. Amen. And here it is, old Elijah's out there. And he said, they've got all these prophets. And I am left as a prophet of the Lord. 851. That's a pretty good ratio when you got the Lord with you. Amen. You're in the majority when it's you and God against 850 more. Amen. That's right. Thank God. And he begins to ask him some questions. In verse 21, he said, how long do you hold between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And notice what the people answered to him. Verse 21, and the people answered him, not a word. I'll tell you what you'll do if you're not careful. You'll get so far from God, or you'll rebel on God so much, you'll get so far from the Lord, that when God does deal with your heart, and the man of God preaches your soul, you'll be so cold and so indifferent and so unconcerned and so apathetic that it won't even bother you. be careful. The people answered, not a word. But then notice down in verse 24, he begins to make a charge. And he says, we're going to take and kill these bulls and put them in pieces upon the altars. And he'll have an altar and I'll have an altar. I'll let them pick the bulls down. I'll let them pick out the wood. We'll build the altars. I'll let them pray first. And then if fire comes down for their God, then he's God. If fire comes down for my God, then he's God. What do you think? In verse number 24, the Bible says, and all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Oh, yes. And so they went through with the situation. Now the people answered not a word in verse 21. They answered, it's well spoken. We'll try God, test him and see if he's real. In verse number 24, but then the prophets of Baal pray. And they cry all morning long. At noonday they cut themselves a stone to leap upon the altar. Wail and cry. Oh, Baal, send the fire. Oh, Baal, send the fire. Oh, Baal, send the fire. But no fire.
I'm going to tell you something, Brother David. They didn't expect fire. You know how I know they didn't expect fire? What fool gets up on top of an altar, jumping up and down on it, and says, send fire on the altar? You'd just burn up if he sent fire. They didn't more believe God that their false God was going to send fire than anything. But that's putting on a show. Oh, God, there's a lot of folks there, aren't they? They don't really believe what we're doing this morning's right, but it's acceptable in their family. It's the thing to do. And so this morning they're sitting somewhere on the church pew with their grasshopper quartet. And my friend, they're here, a tickling preacher. And they've got the suit on. And they look so nice. And they've got the fingers behind their lapels. And they think, man, I got it all figured out. But they're just like this crowd here. And they're testing God. And they really don't believe that what they're doing, they would write. Amen. These many people don't believe that bunch of foolishness they're wrapped in. You know how I know what they don't believe it? Because come tomorrow, they won't be a doing it. Amen. Come tomorrow, they'll be a cursing and a telling dirty jokes. And Friday night, they'll be drinking beer. Amen. That's right. Oh, yes. Mistreat their family, their wives, their children. I don't gather y'all say that crowd is. I don't buy into any of that. If you belong to God, it'll show up in your lifestyle. It'll show up in your lifestyle. Amen. Praise God. I got to get the tape of this. Thank God. Amen. It'll show up in your lifestyle when you get saved. You're a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. If you're not different, you're not saved. You mean you ain't never sinned since you've been saved? I didn't say that. Oh, no. I didn't say that at all. But I sure don't love sin since I got saved. Amen. Well, I don't love it either, preacher. Well, quit doing it then. If you don't love it, quit it. Brother said, I told that girl, said, you sinned before you got saved, right? She said, yeah. He said, you sinned since you've been saved, right? She said, yeah. He said, well, then what's the difference? She said, well, before I got saved, I chased after sin. Since I've been saved, I run from it. Amen. I'm going to tell you, there'll be a difference in a man's life when he gets right with God. They did not believe what they were doing. Just putting on a show, that's right. Just putting on a dog, as my daddy said. Amen. Just acting out, play acting church. Pretending to be a church. Pretending to be a Christian. Praying church, God. Help us to be genuine. And if God be God, just let him be God in your life. Amen. So we find their response to Elijah's question, verse 21. Elijah's challenge in verse 24. Then they begin to have the challenge. The prophets of Baal cried aloud, and finally the blood gushed out of them in verse 28. And it came to pass when the noonday was past, that they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, there was neither voice nor to any to answer, nor any that retarded. In other words, they prayed and prayed and prayed, and Baal never answered them. Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down.
And he begins by building an altar to the Lord with 12 stones. Of course, I told you a while ago how that this nation had been divided and living in rebellion. The 10 tribes he's preaching to are not part of the 2 tribes where the capital city is, where God wrote His name in Jerusalem. And they rebel against that. But Elijah didn't go up there and build an altar with 10 stones or with 2 stones, but he builds one with 12 stones. He's saying, fellas, put the past in the past and let's get back together serving God and loving one another and living in the beauty of holiness and unity with our brethren. What a lesson for us today. Or if we do that, the fire would fall, wouldn't it? If we do that, God would honor our efforts. And the Bible says that he took and built that altar of the Lord and rebuilt together and put the word upon the altar and cut up the bull and just right. And then he said, fellas, go give me 4 barrels of water. And he said, all right, dig a trench around the altar. And they poured the barrels of water on the altar. They did it a second time and a third time. 12 barrels of water. And so much that it soaked the altar, soaked the wood, ran amongst the stones, filled up the trench that was found about the altar. And Elijah got down on the ground and began to pray, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou turn thy back again, or thou hide back again. And then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trees. Well, friend, the fire fell, but they began to get a new liquor and do things right, and sell after God. Oh, whatever he said, how long will you halt between 2 opinions? He started his sermon, and the people answered not a word in verse 21. He started the challenge, and the people said, it's well spoken. In verse 24, I think it's a likeness to the man of God preaching. When he starts off, most of the time, you're not saying a word. Most of you look at me when I start off, wondering what in the world do you want to do with us? And then get about halfway in, he'll say, amen, church. Or you know when I'm preaching on what somebody else does. He'll say, amen, church. But then when it gets down to the end, and the fire begins to fall, and God begins to deal with your heart, what's he going to do with it then? Amen. How will you respond then? You know what these people said? And then all the people saw it in verse 39. They fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. Our Christian challenges, essays, and learned answers when demonstrations occur, or religious fervor will accomplish nothing without God sends a fire. Woo! The fire is what will change the hearts of people, and their hearts will be turned unto the Lord.
When it comes right down to it, where the rubber meets the road, it's one thing to say, well, I'm not arguing with nothing that the preacher said. They answered him not a word. It's one thing to say, I believe he's right. They said, all the people answered, it is well spoken. But it's a different thing entirely when you fall on the face and you say, the Lord, he is God. That's turning from idols to serve the living God. That's turning from the world and the flesh and the devil and the desires and ambitions of this life to serve God. That's giving your heart wholly and completely over to the Lord. I wonder what's your response to preaching. And the people answered. Moses told them, follow the Lord. They come out of Egypt, the people answered all he said we'll do. They get in Sinai, he said, follow the Lord. They said, all the Lord's told us to do, we're going to do it. They get in the land of Canaan. They said, we're going to serve the Lord. God forbid we should serve other gods. But they didn't do it. Elijah says, we're going to send fire down from heaven. They fall and say, the Lord, he is the God. But if you'll follow them another couple of 100 years later, they're still serving idols. Some of you, the Bible said, he that being often reproved and hardened, if his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Proverbs 29:1. Some of you have heard preaching and heard preaching and heard preaching so much that you're fat on preaching. Ain't that right? You know that you're wrong. You know that your life needs to be changed.
You know there's something in your life that needs to be removed. You know if you're not saved that you need to get saved. You know if you're saved that you need to get baptized, join the local church, and go to work for God's honor and glory and be committed to it, become a tither and a server of the Lord, a witness for Christ. You know if that thing that's in your life, that little pet sin that you've been feeding and petting, and it's growing and staying, you know you need to get shed of it. And the man of God preaches on it. You've even come to the point where not only do you not argue, you'll even say amen. Every now and again, you'll actually enjoy him preaching on it. You're just as guilty as you can be. And you'll say, thank God. I'm glad we got a fire-breathing preacher and tell us the truth. Hey! It amazes me how hard-hearted people become. Ain't that right? And I'm not preaching this morning down at the YMCA or a country club. I'm preaching to good church folks. But good church folks is the ones that's become the worst about this. We've become so crusted over and so hard that it's hard for God to prick through the toughness of our hearts, to touch us and to change us. We think we're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and don't even know that we're poor and blind and miserable and naked. And the man of God tries to help us, and oftentimes we just get stiff-necked instead of receiving the word of the Lord. God have mercy on our souls. This morning, there's something right now in your heart, something in your life that's already done crossed your mind. I ain't even got to call it by name. You know where it is. You know what it is. You know what you're dealing with. You know how you live. And boy, everybody looks good to me, see. But I can't see what's beneath the surface. I can't see beyond the pretty outfits. I can't see beyond the nice haircuts and all that stuff. But a suit and tie does not make a Christian. Down in your heart, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Down in your heart, you know about the ugliness that's there that you don't want nobody else to know about. Boy, ain't that right? I want to tell you something. I wouldn't want nobody to be able to open up my heart this morning and look down inside. You say, preacher, I'd be ashamed of who I am. I am. I ain't always done everything that's right. I'm not proud of that. Down inside me, there's a lot of fleshly, carnal, vile, wretched things. I have to deal with them every single day. And if you're still living in the flesh and not gone to glory yet, you do too. Oh, I wouldn't want nobody to see all that. But the Lord sees it. He knows about every bit of those things. Best thing we can do instead of answering not a word or standing back and saying, well, I agree with that and not do anything about it, be to fall on our faces before the altar of the Lord and say, the Lord, He is God, and He's going to be our God, and we're just going to let Him be God. All the people answered, let Him be God. How about in your life? Will you just let Jesus be Jesus in you? Will you just let God be God in your life? Will you just put Him upon the throne of your world and cast everything else aside and serve the Lord? As you serve who you will, but as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Some of you can't even say, as for me and my house, because you've got a husband or a wife or a family member that's not right with God. But if you can't say, as for me and my house, you can at least say, as for me, I'm going to serve God. If my mama don't go, if my daddy don't go, brothers, sisters, neighbors, husband, wife, children, I'm going to serve the Lord. Purpose in your heart not to defile yourself with the king's meat. If you're not saved, get it right. Get born again. Yeah. Boy, it thrilled me to see some of these boys and girls that have been in these meetings, and some of them God's already beginning to deal with their hearts and mass on their souls and draw them near to Himself and the goodness of God to try to lead them to repentance. What be so good to see them come down, throw themselves on this altar, and say, the Lord, He's the God. The Lord, He's God. I trust Him. I believe in Him, and I'll follow Him. Boy, it'd be so good to see some people talk around church for a while, maybe even the whole 10 years we've been here, nearly 10 years. And that, boy, they've got in about halfway, and they're here 1 week and not the next. They serve God real good 1 week and they don't serve Him the next. They walk with God 1 week. Next week you're cutting them down with the FBI on a search warrant. Be so good. Be so good. Some of you that's been around here while others is raising their hands, squalling and shouting. You're just kind of watching the show wondering what is going on. Sure would be good if you'd just come throw yourself on this altar and say, God, send fire. Oh, God, send the fire. Lord, He's a God. I want power of God on my life. I want anointing on my life. I want the witness of the Holy Ghost in my life. Boy, it'd be some good to see some people turn to the Lord. Turn from idols to serve the living God. Would you stand? You need to come do business with the Lord. Would you come?
How about it today? You need to come pray. Boy, there's no need. Hey, you know, I don't read anywhere in this chapter, Brother Thomas, where they played a verse of a song. I don't read anywhere in this chapter where they had six verses, "Just As I Am," or a "Sweet Hour Prayer." But when the fire failed, the people prayed. And they answered and responded to the working of God. Wouldn't wait till they started singing, "I'd just come do business with the Lord." Would you come on? Would you come pray? You need to pray, would you come? And the people answered.
Jesus, be Jesus in me. No longer me, but thee.
I have to decrease. He must increase.
Resurrection power. That's why.